Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. It's Midnight Madness where we're at today. Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive. They'll be here tonight until midnight. And again, don't forget that up to $6,000 over KBB on your trade. Those new Hondas come with that 200,000-mile warranty and a lot of pre-owned selections as well, and some bonus cash deals going on as well. Brian?
It's a great time to get in, as it always is. Coming up over the next 2 hours in just, well, we'll talk a little recruiting. Tennessee had a decommitment on Thanksgiving. The curious story of the Ravens and the Steelers, they're in limbo right now, and the Steelers are not happy about it. We'll take a look at what's going on at Kentucky as well as they get ready to play Florida shorthanded. At 11 o'clock, we'll, of course, have the world-famous pick segment, thanks to Image Matters. And we'll get keys to yet another off week for Tennessee. Are they the same or are they different for where the Vols are right now? All that and more coming up over the next 2 hours. Eric, it starts with some bad news on Thanksgiving yesterday. Tennessee recruiting. Top 100 cornerback Demarius McGee out of Pensacola, Florida, announced Thursday evening that he's decommitted from Tennessee and is reopening his recruitment. Also said to be considering Ole Miss and LSU.
He's a good player, dude. Like, there's no silver lining there. We're not winning. The hype of the commitment has worn off, and you got to keep him. I mean, that's the heart. I mean, it's like if you could just get him excited once, have him sign, and then own them, that would be better. But you don't do that. You got to continue to work and work through that. Imagine how hard some of those calls are after the embarrassing ways we've been losing.
Yeah.
For the coaches to call those players and be like, here, we're here to develop you. And then you watch the game and you're going, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Of course, he's also considering LSU and told GoVols 24/7 he had heard more from them over the last few weeks. They're having similar phone calls, but they can also flash that they won the national championship last year.
Yeah, and put how we're not good because we just put more players in the first three rounds of a draft than maybe anybody ever. I don't know. It's close.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those Bama teams could compete. Maybe an old Miami team from the early 2000s, maybe.
Yeah there were some
That's easier to pitch than we lost three players on defense and our defense isn't that good anymore.
Yeah.
We lost two receivers, but now our offense isn't good anymore. Like, that doesn't work. That doesn't fly. No one believes that.
Yeah. So Tennessee he hasn't eliminated Tennessee, but that's a tough one, and it's only 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks before signing day. Makes it a lot tougher to try to get him back in, and it's a position of need. Defensive back has been a position where you have struggled this year and you were hoping for somebody who could come in and contribute hopefully right away.
Yeah, I mean, they can get him back, like you said, or go get another one. This staff's earning their money recruiting right now.
Yeah, that they are, because
it's easy to recruit in the off season, especially when you're coming out. I mean, they were on a 6-game winning streak. They had a lot of momentum. They had done a good job of getting players in early so they could take advantage of that. And the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you've only won a couple football games and you're on a losing streak.
Yeah. I mean, coming out of that Missouri win, I don't know that this program could have felt much better about itself. I mean, I realized there were some issues in the South Carolina game. Missouri game, you cleaned a lot of them up. And you had to feel good about where you were coming out of that from every standpoint. You had the nation's longest winning streak. You were rolling, and then it just all fell apart. And now the recruiting class is not falling apart. You've had one decommit, but, you know, the bad thing about one is if somebody else is on the fence, they say, well, he jumped.
You got to give them a reason to stay.
Yeah.
You know, like that, that's, they've already bought in, they're invested, the relationships, which is what recruiting's all about, are formed. But you got to give them a reason to stay. Otherwise, yeah, they're not. There's no, you know, give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn this car around. Tracy Chapman knows
Tracy
how to
Chapman,
recruit.
Tracy Chapman, the GOAT, yeah.
She knows how to recruit. You're having a hard time not actually singing it right now. I know you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't do it.
It was one of the most addictive songs of the 90s, and also been played in every grocery store soundtrack for the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah. But she knew how the Vols needed to recruit. That's why she made the song.
I never anticipated we would talk about Tracy Chapman, the singer, as a recruiter, but here we are, and it's not a bad analogy.
It doesn't suck. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's great, but it's definitely not. It doesn't suck. Give him a reason, man. You got to give him a reason to stay.
So Demarius McGee said, quote, I want to thank all my Tennessee fam for everything. I will be decommitting and opening my choices to see which school is the right one for me. Hashtag respect my decision.
I will, as long as it's here.
I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say, can we get all recruits to stop tweeting respect my decision, because most people do, but the people who don't are not going to be swayed by you tweeting respect my decision.
And like, I don't know you. You don't know me. I want you to come here. Sure, if you're a good player. If you're not a good player, and you want to come here, I probably don't respect your decision that way. So very one-sided relationship as a fan with recruits. That's what they don't understand. Very one-sided. Are you good? Yes. Okay. Are you good when you get here? Yes. Okay. Then they'll fall in love with you. But like, you're not playing the field when you're playing fan bases, because they don't care about you unless you come to their school.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you the last. That's not true. There was one kid one time, Dalton Santos. Do you remember Dalton Santos?
He's the one that went on the recruiting trip to Arkansas and
he went to Texas.
Oh, that's right, Texas.
He went on the recruiting trip to Arkansas. White boy linebacker.
Yeah, recruiting trip to Arkansas where they had some ladies of the night, and he decommitted, but then he ended up going to Texas.
He ended up going to Texas, and I remember being like personally offended that he didn't come here. He committed.
Yeah.
But he committed, and I remember being like, that's so embarrassing. I hate myself for this. I'll never, ever fall in love with a recruit again. It's the same thing that's going to happen to fans. Okay, Harrison Bailey's here. If Harrison Bailey doesn't play good, there's going to be people who are legitimately going to have emotional problems over it.
It's not
genuine emotional problems.
Because he put a lot of your eggs in that basket.
Yeah, and you have been since he was in high school. Like, I just wait till they get here, and then wait till they play a little bit, and then decide if you like them or not. You don't even have to like, just because they put the T on, guess what? They can transfer and leave after playing one game. You have to earn the love, in my opinion.
There's not enough earning of the love for you in college football right now.
No, it's not. It's just a free-for-all. It's like the 70s. No rules, no expectations.
Just
no one's laughing but us.
Just free love.
No one's laughing but us.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that's what it's like. It's like peace and love, man. Free love. Like, just to everybody. No, earn it. Earn the love. Take the trash out. Watch The Bachelor with your wife. You got to earn love. Too many fans just give freely of their love. Make them earn it. This isn't the 70s.
I'm in trouble because I didn't roll the trash can down this morning. So we've got.
Oh, dude!
I rolled all
four of ours down because we produce a lot of garbage.
Well, we have the one big thing, you know, that they give you with for pickup. And our day is Thursday, and so obviously that was yesterday. So this morning I realized as I heard them come up the street while I was in the shower that I had not, and just took the L on that one.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's going to rot outside for a week. Maybe.
This morning you took an L, but tonight you'll bounce back.
I hope so. All right, we'll come back to Rusty Waltz Honda of Knoxville.
He's got a helmet on with a T. I love it, man.
Don't fall in love with recruits. Just
no, make, even once they get here, make them earn it.
We'll come back to Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville, I-75 and Callahan Drive. You can come and see Eric there this morning. And
I'm like a scorned cat lady with my fandom right now. I'm not giving love to anybody.
But coming up tomorrow, you'll go down to the shelter and get another one. Oh, I wish we were playing a football game tomorrow. I need something to happen. All right, we'll come back. It's the Eric Gaines Show. Continues next.
My cats. No. Who gives that the Pinstripe Bowl is not being played?
Well, it's one less.
We're not going to make it anyway.
Yeah, and we aren't in the Pinstripe. Well, actually, Eric, we could make the bowl. In the latest bowl projections, Tennessee is in them.
How many games do you have to win?
There is not a limit.
Oh. All of us scorned cat lady Tennessee fans. That are sitting back waiting to have something proven to them that the world is not what it seems. Because right now there's a lot of Tennessee fans that are just sitting at home, not buying tickets to games, even if they could go. They've got litter boxes to change. Maybe even so sad they're not changing the litter boxes.
You want to hear something fun I heard on Wednesday afternoon?
I'd be offended if you didn't tell me.
The possibility of Michigan, Tennessee, and the Music City Bowl.
Oh, like the battle for who sucks the most.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Sparta. We suck less.
2020, man. 2020.
I mean, we're going to beat Vandy. So there's that. Like, we got that going for us. That's going to happen. Their quarterback True. Might make a play or two, but we'll beat Vandy. The other two teams are the first two out of the college football playoff.
Right.
And you know me, by the time we get ready to kick the game off, optimistic might not be accurate, but I will have laid a path out for what we need to do to win.
Yeah.
And I'll be hoping it happens. I don't even want to go here because it's Black Friday and this is fun. Like, we're supposed to be having fun. I'm having fun right now. I'm at Rusty Wallace Honda.
Yeah,
people are buying cars. It's all good. But, like, if we lose to Vandy, the darkness.
Ooh.
The darkness that I will feel inside will be unfathomable.
Yeah, that will not be a fun show for any of us to do.
No, I'll go, like, Batman when he's down in the like dungeon before he meets the guy that saves his life in Dark Knight. Mm. You know, when he's just like frail and giving up on life. That's where I'll be. My cats will have to go find a new owner.
Well, you could just let the cat outside like last time.
Yeah. It's the circle of life.
Oh, this is, if you're tuning in for the first time, the show normally has more of a direction, but it's Black Friday and Tennessee's not playing tomorrow.
And I'm on a roller coaster of emotions right now with all the topics that are getting brought up. It's bringing a lot to light. I feel like this is like therapeutic for me to do this. I wonder what Chris thinks.
656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Gaines Show. Chris is up next. Chris, welcome in. Please save us from cat discussion.
Hey, happy Black Friday, if that is a holiday or whatever.
Oh, heck yeah.
Not to go negative, I'm sorry, I don't want Eric to go into like this place of he's going to be kicking
of
the cat or whatever.
Dark.
But Eric played, obviously, and, you know, of course, us native Tennesseans, its fans, we live the Phil Farmer with the David Cutcliffe area. And Chase and all those guys. But so there was some confidence there. Okay, so Eric got recruited by him, and he played there. And I'm saying he was probably pretty confident that if the ship was swaying a little, that they was going to get it corrected. And whether he's a player or even before he got there or maybe in a few years after, he pretty much knew that everything was okay. I want to ask maybe as if he was a player now and then just from the outside looking in, what's his confidence level of Pruitt and the staff right now?
I honestly think that we are currently, and thanks for the call and the question, Chris. We're currently in like swaying back and forth. We are in the moment because you have a game that if you lose could cost you your job almost immediately. And then you have two games that are going to be really, really hard to win. But those games are opportunities. And I personally, I don't even know if Fulmer would fire him for losing to Vandy this year. But how you finish right now determines the stress level and the anxiety level and the production that has to happen over the course of the next year and into 2021. If he goes and beats Vandy and then upsets Florida and loses a tight one to A&M or something like that,
yeah,
then a lot of people would go, yeah, you beat Florida, we care about that a lot, but all those embarrassing other losses, I'm still not completely sold. But you'd be open-minded and ready and excited for the next season. If you beat Vandy and you get hammered by Florida and hammered by A&M, you're dangerously approaching apathy. Mm-hmm. And that is the scariest thing to me as an athletic director. If I were Philip Fulmer, if I saw off-season, you know, when he's listening to us on the radio, which I don't know if he's listening right now. I know he's, you know, had COVID, but he listens all the time. And shout out Coach Fulmer, you're the man. But it would scare me the most if I were him, if my marketing department and my, you know, Brandon Parks and Steve Early and everyone was coming to me and going, there's just not a lot of excitement, man. People aren't fired up like they used to be for the offseason. I would be pulling fire alarms, red alert, fire. Like, it has to be 365 here. That's what we do.
Right.
It's why our jobs are so much fun and why people want them. There's excitement all year round. If you lose to Vandy, Florida, and A&M, and you win two football games,
it's going to be a long off season.
It's going to be a long off. I'm praying that doesn't happen, just so I don't have to take the fire Pruitt phone calls for a calendar year. I'll be like most people. I'll be going, no, he's got to show me something this year. He needed to show us last year. He didn't. He's still here. Per our conversation earlier, Brian, sometimes it's easier to do that, to keep somebody and figure it out than it is to just go out there and, you know, what else is out there.
But the seat is scorching, and it makes it harder for everything about your program when your seat is scorching.
Living through that off season of the scorching seat. Well, look what happened to Butch after he lost to Vandy.
Yeah, in 2016.
When they cost themselves the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. It made
that off season, it changed him.
It changed him. It changed the trajectory of the team, and it put him on a hot seat that, you know, no coach after winning 9 games had ever been on a hot seat like his. And it was earned because you lost to South Carolina with the East on the line and to Vanderbilt on the road with the Sugar Bowl on the line. So you brought it on yourself. For Jeremy Pruitt, losing to Vanderbilt, if that happened, you would do it to yourself. Just like losing to Kentucky and Arkansas earlier this year puts you in that position. And losing to Georgia State last year puts you in a whole different conversation with the fan base.
You can't do it.
So it would be, I wouldn't say it would be undeserved. I don't think the criticism of him right now is undeserved. I don't think they're going to make a change unless there's some sort of embarrassment against Vanderbilt, something like that. But I do think that there is a lot of pressure on him and the staff, and there will be a lot of pressure on him and the staff next year, and it's fair pressure. And I think he would agree that it's fair pressure. So, he may not admit it in a press conference, but I think behind the scenes he'd say, yeah, we did this to ourselves. We have to be better. And if you're not better, you're going to be somewhere else.
I just was thinking to myself, if Pruitt loses the last three games, does he stay the coach at UT? Or I guess I should say, does Fulmer fire him? And I did the magic eight ball, and I got don't count on it.
You brought a magic eight ball.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my thoughts now.
Okay. Well,
it's for the pick segment, but I just went ahead and gave it a shake. And
consistent would see would be remarkable, so.
Ooh, that answer's a little hazy. You got to try it again. Does Brian Rice suck out loud?
No.
It is certain.
It is certain, yeah. Well, many would agree.
You'd have thought, I'd have got over that as a teenager, as like a nine-year-old. I still think it's funny.
The SEC preview is coming up next as the Air Game Show continues.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show, live from Rusty Wallace Honda of Knoxville. It's Midnight Madness, folks. Right going on right now.
Absolutely. You can get that bonus cash.
Up to $6,000 over KBB on your trade. You got the 200,000-mile warranty on the new ones, and they have a ton of pre-owned vehicles out here as well.
And they're going to be out there until midnight tonight. So get your Black Friday shopping done, and then go pick up a new car. It's great stuff. Rusty Wallace Honda, intersection of Selection I-75 and Callahan Drive. It is time for our SEC preview, and we're for the first time in several weeks, we are fully loaded with everybody scheduled, at least at this point. We'll knock on some wood. Everybody is scheduled to play tomorrow in the SEC. Starts at noon, Kentucky and Florida. Florida tries to keep it rolling. An underwhelming start last week in a 38-17 win over Vanderbilt in Nashville. Now they take the field against Kentucky, who is coming off a 63-3 loss to Alabama last time out. Florida's offense also gets a huge lift as Kyle Pitts returns after missing the last two games. Pitts left after an illegal hit against Georgia that gave him a concussion and forced him to have surgery on a broken nose. 24 receptions, 414 yards, 8 touchdowns in 5 games for Pitts thus far. Even as in his absence, Kyle Trask has continued his Heisman type of season in Gainesville. He's thrown for 2,554 yards, 31 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions in 7 games. Until last week's game, he had thrown at least 4 touchdown passes in every game. Who would have thought that would have ended against Vanderbilt of all teams? He threw for 3 against the Commodores. Florida's facing a Kentucky defense that not only allowed 63 points against Alabama, but 503 yards of total offense as well. They had been pretty solid on defense up until that point, did not look it against a good team last week, and I wouldn't expect them to look great on defense tomorrow.
No, and you know Florida's going to be ready to go, man. They sleptwalked against Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be ready to go.
It's another noon game, so they've got to get up for it, unlike what they did last week. We won't spend much time on Vanderbilt in Missouri, but that's also at noon on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt's 0-7, and the last three games, though, against LSU, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, they've been fairly competitive. So this is going to be something for them. Last week, fairly competitive against Florida. Losing 38-17, but the game was a lot closer than that for a long time. They feel like they have some momentum on the moral victory train. Missouri's coming off a return to action against South Carolina last week after 3 weeks off. Came away with a 17-10 win last weekend. Connor Bialczak, 306 yards behind Kenny Seals of Vanderbilt in passing yards, despite playing in one fewer game. Completing passes at 68% rate with a 5-2 touchdown to interception ratio. He's looked pretty good as a freshman, including a season high 406 yards and 4 touchdowns against LSU, but has averaged over 200 yards in his last three and only one touchdown pass in his last three games. And with teams containing him, it's made the load even heavier for Larry Rountree III, who is in his ninth season unofficially in Missouri. 20 carries on average a game, had a season-high 37 against Kentucky a few weeks back. Had back-to-back 100-yard games against LSU and Kentucky, but has only run for a total of 94 yards and two touchdowns over his last two games. We move on to the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. Alabama, of course, 7-0, number one in the initial college football playoff rankings. Alabama's just been dominant this year. All seven wins have come by at least 15 points, including over Georgia and Texas A&M. A 63-48 victory over Ole Miss was closer than the final outcome indicated, but they haven't had to sweat much this year. They've pounded Mississippi State and Kentucky over their last two outings by a combined score of 104-3.
Dude, I said this early on, too, so I'm kind of taking credit for it, but it's Bama, so it's not much of a hot take. I said early in the season that I thought this was Bama's best team ever that I have seen. All the Saban teams, this one might be better, including better than last year with Tua.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Mac Jones. All he does is put up ridiculous numbers. At some point, that's what he is.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, man. I don't think anyone's going to beat him, and I think they're going to be the champs.
Mac Jones is, like Kyle Trask, a leading Heisman contender, has thrown for 2,426 yards and 18 touchdowns, three interceptions, and is connected on, get this, 77% of his passes.
It's incredible.
It is. We go to the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Hopefully nobody will raise their leg on this one this year.
Ew.
It's not been the fun show it was supposed to be under Mike Leach for Mississippi State, that first week aside, but Will Rogers in the passing game were okay last week against Georgia. He completed 79% of his passes for 336 yards and a touchdown. No picks in their near upset of the Bulldogs. Now he gets to play against the SEC's worst defense. Ole Miss has allowed more than 400 yards in every game this year except Arkansas, and Arkansas had 394, just 6 yards short. The Bulldogs, though, I think would have to control the clock, own third down, and rely on its defense, who has actually been pretty good against a Matt Corral team that keeps getting better. Corral has been a little better with the football over the last few weeks than he was at the beginning of the season. He hit 92% of his passes for 925 yards and 10 touchdowns in his last two games. That is an incredible stat.
I think Ole Miss will beat him. I don't know why, but I kind of, well, between the two of them, I like Lane Kiffin more than I like Mike Leach.
Well, that's easy. He's more likable.
Not for some people.
He's more likable. Mike Leach is not.
Current Lane Kiffin, I actually have almost no problems with.
Yeah.
Current Lane Kiffin, I actually like. I'm a fan of how he operates. That does not mean I'm saying I'm a fan of how he always operated. People can change
older.
And grow older. Yeah, there you go.
A little more mature. LSU and Texas A&M face off at 7 o'clock on ESPN. LSU freshman quarterback T.J. Finley, coming off a 271-yard, two-touchdown performance in a win over Arkansas, no interceptions. And sophomore running back Tyron Davis Price pounded out his second 100-yard day in his last three games. This LSU team, young with what they've lost, they're starting to come around. And they're averaging 452 yards per game. The defense is still pretty good. They're just not where they were, but getting better as the season goes on. And they face a Texas A&M team that leads the SEC in time of possession, leads the nation in third down conversions, and leads the conference in tackles for loss and total defense. They're a complete football team. Kellen Mond is not getting the hype of some of the other quarterbacks, but he's having a season, I think, even better than a lot of people thought he would. Not making mistakes, taking what's there, and redemption time for him after last year he threw for just 92 yards and three interceptions in a 50-7 loss to LSU.
Ooh, well, there's no shame in that last year.
No. But looking for a little revenge.
There would be shame in it this year. Yeah, absolutely.
Looking for a little revenge. Last game, 7:30 tomorrow night, SEC Network, is Georgia and South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia. Stetson Bennett, DeJuan Mathis, they were both okay this year. JT Daniels looked every bit of his five-star ranking last week in his first extended action for Georgia. 28 of 38, 401 yards, four touchdown passes, and led the win over Mississippi State that Georgia looked kind of disinterested for a lot of it, but JT Daniels was ready to go. He averaged 10.6 yards per attempt. The offense had failed to hit 10 yards per attempt all in any game this season until last week. South Carolina, they don't have a lot of hope tomorrow. They aren't generating pass rush. Run defense was okay against Missouri in a 17-10 loss, but not a lot of positivity for the Gamecocks tomorrow, especially if JT Daniels has his second straight good game. Interesting to see how well he's played, having not played to this point this year prior to that.
You never know based on what they do in practice. You can think you can give your best guess. Sometimes the trigger has to be pulled for coaches. He didn't have a choice. You can't even give Kirby Smart credit for that. He waited as long as he could. It's kind of like if Bailey goes out there and just looks like a just total game buster. You can't be like, well, Pruitt put him in there. Well, Pruitt, I mean, he wasn't willing to take the chance. There are such things as gamers. It does exist. And it's really hard to bet on them.
Yeah. They're rare at this level, but it's they do exist to some extent.
I was one of them for a while.
Well, you were too hurt to practice.
that was when I was older and all beat up.
And that is your SEC preview. We roll that out each and every Friday. We'll come back here on the Hurricane Show, 656-9900, if you want to join us. Take a look at Kentucky a little closer when we return. They're down 18 players against Florida tomorrow. What's that going to look like? How do you even do that if you're Mark Stoops? That's next. So we return to Rusty Wallace, Honda of Knoxville.
Massacre.
On the Hurricane Show. Emma, not sure
if
all of those
that
are going
to
be
bad. I would for sure try to get COVID. I don't want to play. I don't want to play next week. You're telling me that it hasn't crossed his mind to what if another guy or two got it and we couldn't play? I'm not saying it's the right thing to think or that it makes you're making light of something that's very serious. I'm just saying if you don't think it's crossed his mind, you're being naive.
Put a few extra guys in contact tracing.
Yeah, you don't have to get it. Just make up one scenario where they were in the training room together.
Without masks, hugging it out.
Hey, most of the teams now, we always had like the small ice tubs and hot tubs and pros and main most big colleges now, those are group deals. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, these five guys got in the hot tub, we didn't know about it, and so we got to contact trace them out of here. Sorry, we can't play. They're going to get beat just as bad.
And without any time to make it up, I would almost say, you know what? Sorry, we're out. We're out. But
you know, and Dan Mullen can say they're ducking us. They're ducking us all he wants. He wouldn't.
He would not pull a Dabo. Dan Mullen does many things, but he would not pull a Dabo about Kentucky contact tracing their game away.
Now, if it was a game to that could influence them getting into the college football playoff.
Yeah.
I could see that, but
Kyle
the whole
Trask
thing's crazy. You know what this is? COVID with the contact tracing and player eligibility is the equivalent of the player that falls down at the opportune time in a football game when the offense has the ball and they're running 2-minute drill and you need to slow them down. We've watched it recently.
It happened.
Where you just go, oh, and it's like the sniper got you. You're just, oh, down on the ground. Out of nowhere, holding your calf, pretending your calf hurts. Your calf doesn't hurt. Your coach didn't tell you to do that. You were tired. And then they get up every once in a while, and you're like, oh, man, they really do look hurt.
It's like I don't.
You can't say you're overcaught. You know, Dabo just straight up called him out on it. And, you know, it's like the other team always gets mad when a player does that, when they fall down to stop the clock.
Like you've never done it before.
Yeah. They all get mad but it's in the back pocket of all of them. You can't get mad, though, because you're like, the whole place boos.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, the kid gets up, and he has to be walked off or stretchered off or carted off or something, and you're like, oh, man, maybe he really is hurt. I probably shouldn't have booed.
Yeah, I feel kind of like a jerk about that. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're right on the edge of it. But I would, if I was right on the edge with it and I was Kentucky. But they're competitors. I mean, look, you just had last week, Mississippi State was under the threshold to play. They went to play Georgia anyway, and they almost won.
True.
Now, I realize Georgia is not what we thought they were at the beginning of the year, but they had a – if they don't have JT Daniels in that game, if they're rolling out Stetson Bennett in that game last week against Mississippi State, they lose.
The mail does not get delivered.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's the reality of that situation. So it can be done. Anybody can beat anybody in this conference. So they're competitors. They want to go play, but I think you're right. Mark Stoops said this, quote, "To say it's not strange, that's an understatement. Every day you're just holding on. Every time my trainer and chief of staff come down, walking down my hall, I'm like, please stay away from me. I'm trying to keep my distance from those guys. We're getting people dinged a couple dimes a day," unquote. He wants to play.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Stoops does. He's a football guy.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
I like Mark Stoops. He was a good hire for them.
Yeah. And it was a good idea to keep him as long as they have and let him figure it out. Now, that's not necessarily the right thing for every program, but Mark Stoops shows that if you believe that you have the right guy, even if there's some evidence to the contrary, you got to keep him, you got to support him, if you believe you have the right guy.
He's gotten Kentucky to where Tennessee is, which means on a normal 12-game schedule, there's 8 to 9 games where they really feel like they could absolutely win.
Yeah.
And then there's a few where it's kind of, you know, not realistic.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's where we are.
Yeah, and that's where you don't want to be.
No, you want to be. You want to be going all 12 or 10 games or whatever, however the world moves forward. Every time we take the field, we think we have a good chance to win.
Pick segment, final hour, coming up next on the Eric Haines Show.